Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say it like this. Take the limits off.
Kick it off.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Stack the spice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Yeah. All my life, been grinding all my life. Stack the spice, hustle, pay the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. Yeah. I'm married to this gang, that's who I made my wife. Said I'd die alone, I told that she probably right. One thing that's for sure, not a stranger to this life. Got a safe that's full of Franklin and a shoulder full of stripes. I don't know what like myself. I say self-made, meaning I design myself. County jail fade, you can pull my file yourself. Spot rage, swallow rocks, I'm getting high myself. Nah, damn right, I like the life I built. I'm from West Side 60, I might got killed. Standing so tall, they think I might got stilts. Legendary baller like Mike, like Will. 96 Impala, thug life on wheels. Up against the wall, squabble at Fox Hill. Like a mother boss, ask me how I feel. Successful street, touching them first meals.
Whoa.
Hey,
all my life,
been grinding
all my life. Sacrifice,
girl,
hustle, pay the price.
Want
a slice.
God.
All my life, I've been grinding all my life.
I started the beginning of 2019 with May 2019 TTLO, to be able to have a show Grindelwallis on TTLO, and I am so blessed. Because guess what? I'm strong. I'm in the struggle. That's going to help take the limits off. And once again, I am your host, your researcher, your grindologist, Lissette Carson. Guys, we got a banging show today. I wanted to close out with a bang. I'm going to close out with a bang. But before I do that, let's do our shout outs. First of all, I just want to shout out to all the professional grinders out there. Thank you guys for just tuning in to Grindology. You could be doing anything right now. Being anywhere right now, but you choose to hang out with your girl, and it's a blessing. I truly appreciate that, guys. I don't take it for granted. And also give a shout out to my husband, Michael Herndon. He is my rock when he don't want to start acting like a fool. But either way it go, he's my rock. I love you, love you, love you, love you, baby. Also, the best media station growing in the world. The next level media station with my Yoda, my engineerical guru, Reverend Dr. Dana King. I didn't know if I wanted to leave out the other title today, but you know, I don't know. I think I want to give it to him today, but I'm gonna be nice. And then also to my producer out there, Tanya, how you doing, girl? She keeps everything copacetic, guys. Like we have a big, big, big team. And guys, when I say a big team, I mean of so many individuals that support Grindology, so many people that support TTLO. And I'm just, you know, like I said, I'm just thoroughly blessed. I'm trying to ignore my husband, trying to open up these funions over here. Dr. Dana, say hi to my people.
What's up?
And I also want to acknowledge all Blog Talk Radio listeners, all iHeartRadio listeners, Facebook Live viewers, and everybody connected through any social media that supports the TTLO family. We love you guys, and we're truly grateful. TTLO, we do big things every week, every week. On Monday, we have Missional Mondays with Dr. Dana King at 7 p.m. Then we have my girl, Dr. Kimberly Thomas, Healthy Soul Talk on Tuesdays, right, at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, Dr. Thomas, she gets us right. Man, this Tuesday, she had a guest on, and they were just having these conversations that was related to young men.
Men and mental health.
And you know what? It was just really insightful. I mean, just to understand, like, as young men, how they're raised to, you know, to not have emotions, not to be really emotional, you know, not to cry, not to, you know, not to just show their feelings, you know. And that was really, it was really enlightening. Like I said, I was raised tough. I mean, I was raised really tough, but I mean, I'm telling you, I was hard as a rock. So now, you know, but God, he softened me up, didn't he, baby? Did he soften me up? Thank you, Lord. And then, of course, on Thursdays, we have Grindology with myself, Lissette Hernton, guys. And you know what I do. I just bring all the business out of there. Put all your business out there. And then close out the week, Praise Break Friday on TTLO with Dr. Dana King, who always turn up every Friday. You turning up tomorrow, Dr. Dana?
Yeah. It's the last. No, it's not the last show of the year because we still got Monday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah. Nah, we're going to turn up. We're gonna be good. We good. Yeah, we ready.
Yeah.
And I may have a guest, too, so we ready.
Oh, my God, guys. And, I mean, like, seriously, Dr. Dana.
Huh? I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure out.
He kicks it off on Fridays. But here's the thing, guys. If you have any remarks, any questions that you would like to ask right here on Grindology, please feel free to inbox me on Grindel or the TTLO Facebook page, or email us at takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, or call into the station 323-870-4375. Call me now. I just had to say that. Call me now. 323.
You Madam Cleo?
I just had to say that. 870-4375. Guys, I just have to let you know we have an awesome, awesome topic today. We are discussing the top 10 major grinds of 2019. I mean, definitely, what has occurred in 2019 in terms of business and entrepreneurship and just, you know, all over in various industries, whether it's the political arena, the sports arena, or if it's the retail, everywhere it has been going down. So then that's basically what I'm here to discuss today. I want to close out, and I want to just get you guys feedback, you know, your engagement as to what did you think about some of these things that has occurred. And I don't even want to just, you know, go into like a whole conversation. But Dr. Dana, how was your week?
My week was good. It's real good. Now that I ended that call. My week is great. It was good, man. We had some. It was actually really good. It's the last week of school.
The last week of school.
Tomorrow's the last day. We get out early. Ain't got to go back to that joint till January the 8th, something like that, whatever that is. Praise white baby Jesus in swaddling clothes.
Look at Jeebus.
Yeah. It's been a good week. Then we got, you know, big things popping.
Big things popping
for TTLO Media Group. Major concert. We announced it late yesterday.
I was so excited when I seen the post.
Yeah,
I was like,
major concert.
No.
TTLO is sponsoring its first major concert in partnership with the birthplace of gospel music. Darius Brooks and the Tommies are coming right here over to the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church on 1229 at 5 o'clock. All are welcome. It is a free concert of the year.
Free concert. And free
you can't beat that free.
Nathan,
right.
$3.99.
All you got to do is come. Free 99.
Moderate.
Free. You just show up with your good shoes on and, yes. and a couple of tissues because, you know. Yeah.
I just feel like it's going to bless my soul. I'm really
it
looking
is.
Forward to it.
It is.
I mean,
so,
that is such a good way to close out the year.
Yeah.
Just being able to hear these choirs and these singers and artists that can sing.
Yeah, they sang a song.
I mean, sang with an A.
Right. Yeah, you make sure you bring your mom.
It's going to bless my
soul. Close to the
altar. I ain't got time. I ain't even going to do that with them. Earlene, I'm not going to even deal with them today. I'm not. So, but, yeah, definitely. I feel like it is going to be wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, bring your family. Come and just experience the presence of being and people who can sing good. Fill your spirit up. It's something about music, guys, that just can take you to another level. I feel like I'm ready for you guys to take me over into the next year. Let me sing into the next year. That's what I'm saying. So, yes, definitely. So, guys, here we are, right? In 2019, I got to tell you what happened, right? So, I went in to place an ad this morning to talk about this particular topic because there have been this year, so many social issues revolving around business, like just every little nook and cranny, like from the Me Too movement and how it has impacted a lot of individuals and their businesses and just everything coming in, like even as it relates to equal pay, there has been so many drastic changes and transformations that have happened in the business world as it relates to that. And I'm like, I just had to talk about it. I'm like, oh, it was some really good stuff. But we're gonna kick it off. We're gonna kick it off right now. I don't even wanna wait. I don't even wanna go on a break.
Okay.
I just wanna kick it right off.
Well, run with it then.
Let's start off with the first major grind that I felt that occurred this year. And that was the Jay-Z partnering with the NFL. I mean, for me, guys, like, we knew, like, once we had the issue with Colin Kaepernick and his protest kneeling in protest of police brutality within the communities, I mean, like, everybody went way over the top when it came to, I mean, Colin Kaepernick and the NFL. I'm just saying. I mean, it was just really, really crazy. So, like, here's the thing, right? This man, he protested. What's wrong, Dr. Data? Could you go in? What happened?
Somebody had, I was just reading this note about, I'm sorry, somebody said they got Colin cancer.
What we was talking about, guys. I'm so done. But what basically happened was that my man called it. He was Colin cancer. Colin Kaepernick.
That's his name. Colin Kaepernick. That's his real name. Look at God. Colin.
I'm sitting here like. You know, I'm one of them old people. I just called the baby all kinds of things. Colin.
Going to get my Colin
cleansed. You know, Deanna ought to call the man Colin. Colin.
Give me your Colin cleansed.
That's somebody who don't even know better. Colin. Colin Kaepernick.
Yes, Colin. It's Colin.
Okay.
Colin.
Colin Kaepernick.
Thank you.
I'm going to get his name right.
Go ahead. You good.
His mama named him Colin. I'm going to call him Colin.
Come on, tell the story.
But he... He's stupid. But what what ended up happening, right, was that, you know, my man, he basically protested by just kneeling. And for that, he lost, like, his whole career, you know. And for me, guys, the lesson learned in that whole process was that, you know, you have to identify, like, what you really believe in and if it's worth losing everything, you know, because I feel like in certain aspects, just that time from him, you know, making that protest and actually, you know, being fired in certain way, mm-hmm. right? Like, he lost a lot of money.
Yeah, business, big time.
He lost a lot of money.
Big time.
He lost a lot of endorsements, even though he was pulled in. Was it for the Reebok endorsement?
That was Nike.
That was Nike. He pulled in with the Nike endorsement. So it was just like, when you look at that whole process, yeah, at the end of the day, he still was able to, you know, gain some ground. Mm-hmm. And now it seems like he's, you know, they're going to reel him, you know, bring him back in. But then at the same time, though, it was just like, that man lost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to say millions, because guess what? He was out since 2016. Mm-hmm. It's 2019. That man ain't been making no money. Not the type of money that he would make, you know,
he got
in the NFL.
Right, but remember, he did get a settlement from the NFL for an undisclosed amount, but the rumor is it was about $60 or $70 million.
Yeah.
Right.
In comparison to his actual contract, though.
Yeah, but it...
Like, I feel like it's peanuts.
The way NFL contracts are made up, though, NFL contracts aren't really worth the paper they're written on, because you can sign a $100 million contract with the NFL,
yeah.
and they can cut you next month.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
definitely.
And you, let me help her get her volume down. She's doing like me.
I'm doing just like you.
But yeah, you can get cut and not get anything, because
yeah.
NFL contracts are not guaranteed. They're not like basketball and baseball.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you
yeah.
know, and that's the most dangerous sport, where the money is not guaranteed.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely, definitely. And that's basically what led up to me, like, talking about the Jay-Z partnering with the NFL, right? Because, like, Jay-Z was one of the biggest, you know, advocates over, you know, for the protest that, you know, that Colin did. But, you know, at the same time, now he strikes an entertainment deal with the NFL to be a live music entertainment strategist. Now, here's the thing, guys. Like, you know that based on that protest, that the NFL lost a lot of good performers, like people. Now, here's the thing. The performance is one of the biggest revenue-generating aspects of the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of what? And it's because of marketing.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the ads. It's because of all the businesses supporting and wanting their brands to be displayed during these times. So they lost some money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much money it was, but guys, real talk, they lost some money. And, you know, at the end of the day, to see Jay-Z come in and partner with the NFL, some people probably thought that it was like, oh, you know, people were all up at arms about it. Oh, this is bull crap, you know, he shouldn't have done that. You know, this shouldn't, you know, he shouldn't have went into this deal with the NFL. I don't want to say, you know, he's sleeping with the enemy, or, you know, he's all in it for himself. But one of the things that I learned about this process is that if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. If you can't seize the opportunity to make yourself valuable to your enemy, like, you'll end up, you know, just being a mouthpiece. And guys, no one really wants to be just a mouthpiece, you know, complaining about all the things the NFL didn't do, or all the things that the NFL was wrong for, and then now you have this back and forth, you know, just this back and forth debate about what they did wrong, why they did wrong, what, you know, Colin did wrong. So now it's just a bunch of talk. But at the end of the day, for someone to decide, you know what, I'm going to take that, I'm going to look at that as a particular opportunity for me to get in so that I can make a change. You know, I feel like there is a lot of individuals. I feel like it's a smart business move. I don't know what you guys might think. Cedric, I don't know what you might think. But I think it was a smart business move, to tell you the truth. Like, I felt like at the end of the day, he's able to gain leverage, bring people in, and allow, you know, and give, you know, probably redeem the NFL for the way that their actions was. But then at the same time, I'm a little bit at odds at it, because I feel like it's also money. You know, when things are revolved around money, people are going to sit at the table and they're going to talk. And at the end of the day, Jay-Z is going to get paid. NFL is going to get paid. So it's just interesting for me to see how this whole thing is going to play out in terms of social equality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm interested to seeing that. But for me, I think it was a good move. I'm not going to talk about that one yet, because I feel like I might end up getting kicked off. So let's talk about the next major grind of 2019 that actually occurred. And that was this whole protest about the blackface fashion. The Prada monkeys.
Oh.
The Gucci sweater with the blackface. All this good stuff that was happening. Just these big old fashion scandals that was coming on by Gucci, Prada, you know, all the high-end fashions. They decided that they wanted to create a fashion statement by having articles of clothing to represent it. I don't think it was representing blackface, but it looked blackish. That's all I'm going to say. It looked blackish. They had the big red lips. This sweater, first of all, like, the fashion was ugly all the way. Like, I don't even understand. Like, for me to even see someone that's like, you know, that makes a lot of money and walk around with shoes with big red lips on it, I just think that that was just that's a fashion don't. I don't care if it's Versace, Prada, Gucci, your mama. I don't care what it is. It was ugly. But they had this sweater, guys, and I know you guys seen it. They had the sweater that covered up to here. It's like a turtleneck kind of like deal. And on there it had the, you know, the red lips stuff. But this teed off a lot of people. It was like, this is blackface. Now, here's the thing, guys. It did resemble it. Now, there were some shoes. I think they were, who was that with the ugly shoes? I think the shoes were Prada. They had like two eyes and they had big red lips. And they were on a black base. It didn't look like blackface, but it looked very tacky. That's all I'm saying. But here's the thing. These are multi-billion-dollar, like, fashion organizations with no diversity. Like, they didn't have, like, one person in their group to say, no, I don't think you want to put monkeys on here. You know, like, I don't think you want to put something like, because I'm telling you, if they had a brother or sister in their group, in their diversity, in their leadership team, immediately when they decided to launch this, or even when I'm working for Prada, I'm one of the leaders, one of the fashion consultants, whatever, sweeping the floors, getting the mail, wherever I was in that whole realm of the business, and I see them bring a concept over that looked like that, I would have told them, no, guys, that's not going to work. That looks racist. That looks a little racial. You know, you might not want to put the monkeys on there. you know, that's a little bad. You might not want to do that. But here's the thing that I learned about this, guys. You got to have diversity in your organization. You got to. You have to make sure that your team is diverse so they, you know, so that they can make sure that you're doing the right thing. Now, we're in a world now, guys, where everything offends everybody.
So you think we're a little too thin-skinned?
I mean, I'm just saying, like, they could have put dog fur around the sweater and somebody would have said something about it. Like, you know, they would have protested. You know, they could have did. I mean, in a world where it's like everything is so delicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the slightest thing can take somebody over. So it's just important that we just don't offend anybody. You know, okay. I don't know about you, Dr. Dana, but like, I just feel like you have to have diversity. You know, I think you have to have one, and this is, I think you have to have a rainbow coalition. I think you got to have, one black, one white, one Chinese. You know, I think you got to have one gay, one trans, one dog lover, one cat lover, one Christian, one Muslim.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
I'm just saying, guys, before I take my first break, you need to have diversity. And that's, for me, that's what I learned as an entrepreneur. Unless I'm gearing my brand to a specific race, you know, group, cultural group or whatever, that's one thing. But then you really are not culturally diverse. Which mm-hmm. I feel like is a violation of the EO. I don't know, you know, it's just like, I just feel like there's just certain things you have to do. Like when you think about it, Chick-fil-A, and, you know, and
they're not open on Sundays, right?
Yeah, they're not open on Sundays. But I think they had,
Popeye's is though.
I think they had a certain issue, you know, going on as it relates to the, you know, the LGBT.
Chick-fil-A is, I am one who, I think you can run your company however you want to run your company. They, you know, have spoken out against LGBTQ, whatever, ABCD, I don't know the rest of the letters. But I'm sure that there's probably some LGBTQ people that work for Chick-fil-A. They just might not be like, you know. But at the same time, I don't like the fact that people try to come in, and we ain't trying to take the show to a whole other level, but
right.
People come in and try to tell you how to do your business, you know, like they did with that couple in, was it Portland or whatever, or Seattle with the bakery who wouldn't make the cake for the gay couple, and then they sued them and ended up losing their bakery because they couldn't afford to pay for, they had to pay for lawyers and everything else, and they lost the bakery, and then the case got thrown out after the fact.
Yeah.
And so, but now I ain't got no business. My business is closed.
You know, and that's hard to recover from. But see, this is the things that we're discussing, guys. Today, we're discussing the major grinds of 2019. And I feel like, you know, like when it came to that blackface, that whole blackface protest thing, like it cut down on a lot of people. It made a lot of the, you know, our stars out here, a lot of the entertainment stars, rappers, really protest against it. T.I. protest against it, you know, and, you know, people now like throwing away their Versace and now actually more engaged in the culturally diverse, you know, individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes it's important to support black, you know, so now we have a lot of fashion designers and a lot of things that are geared around taking entrepreneurs to the next level in the fashion industry and everything. So now it's like, okay, let's engage in the individuals that really support what's going on. So guys, we're gonna take a quick break, and then we're gonna go into our next ones. We got a couple of more to go into, actually a few more, but man, we're talking about the major grinds of 2019. What did you guys think about those two? You know, what did you think about it when they said Jay-Z was now partnering with the NFL? Did you think, oh, man, that's bull crap? Or did you think, like, oh, okay, it's a smart move? You know, what did you think about that blackface thing? I know it kind of teed me off a little bit, but it was one ugly pair of shoes. It didn't look, I wouldn't even represent blackface on them shoes. That it was that ugly. But we're going to talk about the rest of them coming right up. Discussing a crazy bananas, but a really good closeout topic, which was the top 10 major grinds of 2019. Like, there's been a lot of major business moves that have occurred that have really stood out for, like, you know, all of us. And I just want to discuss just the top 10 that, you know, came in my spirit.
I'm curious about your top 10. I want to see who's on it and who's not. I'm just curious.
Yeah, like I have some on my top 10, but let's get to the next one.
Go for it.
Now, another top 10 major grind that has occurred in 2019 is plant-based fooding.
Boo.
Plant-based fooding. I don't know about anybody else, but like now, like plant-based diets, plant-based eating has been this trendy thing that has happened in 2019. So everybody is just really stuck on eating.
Nope.
Beyond Burgers, Beyond Sausage,
Impossible Burgers.
I mean, all I can say is that there's this one burger place that's full plant-based, and that's in Atlanta. That one, nah, they might get me on that one.
Real talk though, we go to and we want to see if you guys are available to go. We take the whole crew. We get we go to the National Restaurant Association. Yeah, you should go. We go to the National Restaurant Association event every year at the McCormick Place. It's for like people who own restaurants and stuff, but we go because we get media passes. Praise the Lord. And I tried. That was my first time trying one of the, I think it was either the Impossible Burger or Beyond Meat, one of the two. Mm-hmm. And I ate it thinking that it was like, I'm like, all right, I'll just try it or whatever. And I'm like, this cannot be like soy, whatever, because it tasted like I was eating a hamburger.
Yeah.
Like, for real. Yeah. Like, I don't know if they're cooking it the way everybody else cooking it, but the way they was cooking it up, real talk, it was excellent.
They have a Beyond, like, breakfast sausage that I tasted. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good. Like, you know, they're, like, the plant-based burgers are really good, you know.
Well, I'm gonna try them in January because, you know, I'm doing my whole Journey to 50 thing starting in from January 1st to May 4th. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna try a little bit of everything.
Now, here's the thing, guys. This is what I think really messed me up when it came to it, was just the whole aspect about meat, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people started really ragging so hard on meat, the treatment of animals. Like, just, like, going into the grocery store nowadays to buy meat, I'm still, like, I'm a little leery. It's a little thing, like, sitting in the pit of my stomach, like, ugh.
Clone.
I mean, like.
The clone meat, you thinking that's what it is?
I don't know what it
could, oh, okay.
It could be, like, that chicken was, like, mistreated. I want a chicken, a free-range chicken that has been roaming free and he's chilling. I don't want a steroid chicken. I don't. Like, I mean, and when you start looking at the prices of meat now, they're starting to go down a little bit. That's all I'm saying. They're not up there. And I think they realize that now they have to really shift what they're doing in terms of preservatives and nitrates and all kinds of stuff. Like, people are, like, you can get a processed, you can get Oscar Mayer salami right now for like, what, $1.25? Processed meat is starting to go way out the door.
I'm going to agree with Michael that the price of bacon ain't went down at all.
No, the price of bacon did not go down. Bacon is still good. Bacon is still good. I'm still, like, I try to look at the pack. I am such a label reader now. Like, you know, like, I'm looking at stuff, like, I can't see. I don't want anything with high fructose corn syrup, and I don't want anything that's nitrates and all this stuff. Because now, like, we look at that stuff, and I'm like, this stuff is really affecting your body. You really didn't think that it was, but now everybody's on this plant-based thing. We trying to be healthy in 2020, but what is starting to happen in terms of the major grind of 2019 is that the vendors and, like, the sports arenas and the sports vendors and, you know, just all over are now transferring over to plant-based. So it's going to be interesting when you, like, go into, like, you know, to look at your, you know, hang out and take on a Bulls game or go to an arena and take on a Blackhawks game or whatever city, state you're in, and you see plant-based food. A plant-based hot dog.
What are you doing, the soy steaks?
I don't know. I was not a real fan of Morningstar, but I like their black bean burgers.
Morningstar, let me not talk about people because they could be possible potential sponsors down the line, but them breakfast sausage didn't do nothing for me.
Not the breakfast sausage, but I like the spicy black bean burgers. I do like those. Like, I can eat those, like, right off the hip. But yeah, talking about plant-based, another major grind of 2019 is cannabis. Like, you know, cannabis is definitely has arisen. Like, we're high now. Like, cannabis is is I now. And I'm telling you guys, this whole thing, like, I don't know about you guys, we're in the city, right? So every time we go into these gas stations now, everything is CBD oils, vaping, cannabis, hemp, like everybody is trying to get a piece of this cannabis pie, I'm telling you. And it's a real lucrative business that is booming. And now that it's getting more and more legal, well, it's legal in the state of Illinois now, right?
So effective January 1st, yes.
And
Like, people are all over now trying to find ways to either cultivate marijuana or trying to find a way to sell it or be, you know, distributors of marijuana.
Yeah, that's part of the issue with the city because none of the current vendors in Chicago, or 11, I think it was 11 vendors in Chicago.
Yeah.
None of them are minorities.
And this is a good thing that they have been
none
actually talking about.
Here is the problem, though. I understand them trying, the Black Caucus, the Alderman Black Caucus trying to slow down, trying to postpone everything till July. Here's my issue. If Black folks wanted to get into, and this is where I have to hold our people accountable. If Black folks wanted to get into the marijuana business, why you wait now? Because the white folks that's been doing it, because all of the dispensaries that you had to have a medical card to get are
now
going to be selling
game.
It. Yeah.
Now
but you could have
game.
Gotten that business on the medical side.
Yeah.
But you still were trying to get it from Pookie and Ray Ray.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, and the crazy thing about that now is, yeah, there are a lot of, you know, like laws and a lot of things that are now being passed to allow minorities to be, you know, dispensers of cannabis. And there's a lot of laws that are trying to be passed now, or if they're not already, if I'm not mistaken, to kind of like help individuals expunge some of their records who have been arrested based on, you know, having cannabis possessions.
Right.
So, I mean, like, there's a lot of transitions. The hard thing about it, though, is, like you said, as minorities, how do we know how to get into those particular industries? You know, like, it's not cheap.
No, it's not cheap. It would have been cheaper then than it's about to be now, because now, like, just you would have had to get in on the ground level.
Yeah. Yeah, you would have to come in on the ground level.
Because now you got to come out your pocket. Probably, you know, the amount to invest is probably going to be ridiculous. And I'm just saying that without any real knowledge of it. But
I've heard of some applications that are like, you know, like up in the thousands. So like you know, like here it is. They're also talking about having, you know, grants and, you know, and other things to help minorities, you know, be able to be medical marijuana, you know, dispensaries. So it's like it's one of those things that you have to keep your eyes open and do your research. I mean, because right now I know that even the city of Aurora, they have like, you know, like they have some licenses like hanging out, and there's people that are transferring over to the city of Aurora to make sure that they pick up them type of license, because you're only going to have So many.
You can only flood, and then like there's a place I drove past it. I don't know how I saw it. I think I was driving somewhere, and I looked up, and I think I was on the phone with Tanya, and I looked up and I saw that. I'm like, this is a big marijuana place, because it's like this huge building, cameras everywhere, of course. And I'm like, this place is probably finna be, because it was a medical marijuana place. Now it's finna be open to the public.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm pretty sure that they are, you know, cultivating it in there.
Y'all gonna have you some marijuana sausages.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know what? I think here's the thing, and this is my viewpoint, and this is what I feel like I've learned about this whole marijuana thing, right? Now, first off, like, marijuana is legal, and it's actually now about to saturate our communities. How is it going to affect us?
Saturate our communities more than it already is?
More than it already
is. You think so?
It's almost,
I think,
like,
I,
okay, here's
honestly,
the thing.
I believe,
here's the thing.
Go ahead, come on, tell me.
It's
tell
almost similar, okay, like, okay, when it was alcohol before the prohibition, right? So, like, when cigarettes and stuff was, you know, illegal, you had to go in the underground and get it, right? So, it wasn't technically, you know, one of those things that you could really get, and it's legal, so you're more cautious, not a lot of people engage in it.
Right.
Now it's legal. Now we got alcoholics, now we got people with with cancer on top of cancer because of cigarettes and alcohol. Do you think that it's going to be saturated more? Of course. I feel like it's definitely going to be way more saturated than it already is. It's underground, yeah, but when it's commercialized, it's just a whole nother different story. So now people can get it, and now it's okay.
I think the larger issue is people are already smoking.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't go anywhere where I don't smell somebody smoke, especially in the summertime.
Yeah.
People are already smoking. We joked about this at the bowling alley. I pull up next to cars every Saturday, and they windows are up, and I get high before I get out my car.
I'm telling you,
and they windows are up.
Walk past me.
So it make me wonder, are
that
the filters any good on my car?
Contact is a mother.
And then you got people smoking they're vaping the marijuana.
Yeah.
So it's already out there. So you're thinking that because it's legal, you still got to be 21 to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking the people, first of all, the people that want to smoke weed now are already smoking weed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
People that want to smoke weed, already smoking
they
weed.
They already in it.
Now, are you going to get some new weed smokers? Yeah. But it ain't going to be enough to, I don't think it's going to be enough to make us all of a sudden be looking around like everybody finna be high. I want to see I want to see the other side of when people start smoking and getting up going to work.
See now, Dr. Dana, here's the thing. It's a difference between underground marijuana smokers and now promotional marijuana smokers. Like now when you see a picture or an advertisement.
Is it going to be some advertisement? I think that was part of the deal. I don't think they can. I think there's something. Did I read something that there won't be any advertising? Because
I think, and going back to what you said, like the advertisement is just basically what it is already, right? It's,
everybody know. You got Snoop walking around. You don't need no advertising.
He is the founding father. One of the founding fathers.
Oh, Willie Nelson.
But,
he said he stopped. He said
but
he
see,
just stopped.
Here's the thing then. It's like, okay, it's not saturated, right? But it's going to be, I just feel like it's going to be just this whole thing now. It's going to be, why? Because we got people now like Lil Wayne launching a premium cannabis brand.
See?
Now people are going to be launching cannabis brands like they doing liquor.
Oh, absolutely. Because, see, now the people with money, the celebrities, the rappers, they probably invested early. Who is the congressman who, it was the orange dude, Boehner, John Boehner. He was the real orange guy, the senator. When he left Congress, he put millions of his dollars into the cannabis industry.
Man, and I'm telling you, and then like that's like one of the major moves, like Lil Wayne. He's announcing the launch of GKUA, Ultra Premium, a new brand of cannabis product.
Wow.
With highest natural levels of THC.
See.
So it's going to be glamorized. Now you're going to have your own cannabis brands out here like liquor.
Smoking on the beach.
It's going to be like, you know, Remy and Ace of Spades. It's going to be ultra. But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, we're all, you know, into that mindset that, yeah, it's where it is now. But it's going to be so glamorized. Now it's like, okay, now it's available. Now where I could prevent my kid from, you know, saying say no to drugs. Now they like, well, I can't wait till I get 21 and I'm gonna smoke. You know, it's just like one of them things. Like when you can buy a pack of cigarettes now and you like, oh, you're doing it now because where you were limited at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you said, if they're doing it, they're already doing it.
Mm-hmm.
If they're there, they're already there. But when it's easy accessible, like it is, like cigarettes and drinking and everything now it becomes a norm.
But it's still not going to be easily accessible because it won't be. I won't be able to go to the gas station like I buy a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's only going to be sold at the dispensaries.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the limitation. You still got to go to. Now, the issue is going to come from the dude on the street still trying to sell it.
Yeah.
That now is it gonna put a dent in their business?
No, that's real.
I don't know, because see now them charges gonna stick.
Yeah. And see, here's the thing though.
See, all the people they let them people go.
Yeah.
But then now you selling it and they know, because see now we want them tax dollars.
Yeah. And see, and that's where it's really starting to come into.
Yeah.
Now it's about the money, right? Now it doesn't, it's not going to get to a point where, okay, it's going to be financially, you know, lucrative for individuals, but it's still going to saturate. Now, we still know what the effects of marijuana is. We know, like, where for anyone who has ever smoked marijuana, we know what, besides the munchies, babe, besides all the extra, we know exactly what it leads to, right? Airheadedness. That's all I'm just saying.
Is that what it is?
I just feel like your head will be too much in the cloud. Now, it's okay. Now, this leads to the perfect segue of the next major grind, which is not really so much of a major grind, but it was one of the things that have impacted us in, like, the business world when it comes to entertainment, and that was the young 21-year-old Juice WRLD's death. Juice WRLD is one of the Chicago, young 21-year-old Chicago rappers out here who actually just recently passed as a result of seizures and, well, reported seizures and a heart attack. As it relates to him, according to what I'm seeing in the ad, swallowing Percocet.
Yeah. Him kill himself. Next.
That is not one of the things that, we have a 21-year-old, right? Percocet are another drug that's out here, you know. And this is one of the things, guys, that really kind of, like, you know, got me about this. Because, one, my children, they followed. They were, you know, real fans of Juice WRLD, and it was just a lot of things that, I mean, they followed him very hard. They loved his songs, Lucid Dreams, and, you know, and I like the song Lucid Dreams. But to see where, when we're talking about, you know, drugs and the accessibility of those type of drugs, like, my young man just, he swallowed these Percocets.
Right, but you,
I mean, here's the thing. Now, this is the thing, and I'm...
His was illegal, though. He didn't buy them. He was smuggling them in and didn't want to go to jail. Him killed himself.
That is crazy.
That's, I mean, that sucks, though.
I mean, it definitely does suck.
When they said Juice WRLD was gone, I thought they was talking about Orange Julius in the mall that's closed down. I didn't know what they were talking about.
No, Juice WRLD was the 21-year-old Chicago rapper. And when son came and said that, he was like,
Simple Lemonade
had
went out of business
to me in order for me to understand who he was.
Still don't know.
But when he sung the song, I just started, you know, taking a look, you know, at this young man. Now, here's the thing. This young man is a successful millionaire.
Was he?
Yeah, he was making millions.
Never heard of that.
You know, he blew up as a young Chicago artist, right? But here's the thing that kind of, like, got me about that whole thing, about this young man's grind, right? He had an entourage.
Mm-hmm.
His entourage are on a plane, a private jet, with 70 pounds of weed, guns,
and Percocets.
And Percocets. Now, for me,
it's time for the Percocets.
And Dr. Thomas said, no, he was addicted to Percocets.
Time for the Percocets.
He was actually addicted to Percocets. So, and he had them in his system. I mean, you know, like, he was addicted to it, Dr. Thomas, but he had them and he used them because he had them on him.
He had more than he should have, that he did not have. He had illegal prescriptions.
One of his
right.
sources or whatever that was with him, part of his entourage, said that he swallowed several multiple unknown pills,
which caused him to have a seizure, thus a heart attack. Him kill himself.
So when we think about that, guys, like, we think about, and this is one, this is major, you know, for me, Dr. Thomas, when we think about this, right, we have our children that are blowing up, you know, in these particular industries, right? Rapping, you know, entertainment, or whatever, they blow up in the characteristic and the dysfunction that they have already. They blow up. So they feel like, you know, I'm gonna do me. But I'm gonna do me times 10, you know, with all this money that I'm making, with this entourage, with this mindset, and it's a dangerous combination. I'm just saying, when you think about individuals and you think about their grind, one thing that I learned about that is that, you know, you have to be free from, you know, a lot of mental things that you've gone through when you get to a certain level of success. You know, like, your entourage is going to egg you on. They're going to support and be your yes man. Like, one of the things that Bootsie said was, like, you got to have a fall guy.
Who said this?
Bootsie. You don't know him. He's a rapper. But what he was saying...
How come I don't know nobody?
Well, what he was saying is that rappers should have a fall guy. He literally said this.
Really?
He said that you're a rapper and you're about that type of life and you have an entourage, you got to have you at least one or two fall guys. He said people who don't have, you know, really bad background, no background, who when stuff gets hot, they'll take the heat for you. But this young man took the heat for himself. And now, you know, he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
His friends are, you know, they distraught, but they off into their own thing. You know, and I was asking the question, I'm like, okay, how is this possible? How can a young guy like this without, you know, and maybe it's money, can get into a actual plane with all that contraband? And know that, first of all, you already hot.
But it was
you gonna land and you feel like you're gonna land with all that.
But it,
and not get
because
and not get caught.
Yeah.
And not get stopped.
Somebody told
the pilot.
Because first of all, you're flying on a private jet. When you fly on a private jet,
I never did that.
You don't go through the normal security. You're not going through TSA. You pull up through a gate and you know, like, for instance, if you ever drive by close by over by Midway Airport,
yeah,
the private jets are on the side, and you pull up to a gated security area, and then you just come in with your bags,
yeah,
and then they take your bags and put your bags on the plane underneath the plane, and you get down and sit down. Ain't no ticket, ain't no security.
You just get down and sit down.
They had guns because you
they
can
had guns.
Yes, because
that's
there is no because there is no security. So somebody told you say the.
They said the pilot. But then my thing is, they had to been used to that. Like, they had to been known that this is what they do. Like, you know, you're not just going to take that first chance like that. They've been flying on these.
Well,
like
the pilot,
said,
and it could have been a different pilot, and it could have been a pilot that said, I'm not going to lose my license.
Right.
Because I'm the one transporting this stuff.
I mean, they was pushing major things.
Wait.
Major things. Like, they were coming from Colombia.
Thought they was,
Wow.
What's my man's name? Frank Lucas.
The last thing, yeah. Like, it was a sad
Blue
moment
magic.
For me. But you know what? One of the things that I learned about that, even in the fact that, because here's the thing, I have children who look at these individuals. Yeah, it's shocking to see, you know, children, you know, this young, you know, being impacted like this, you know, and having to, you know, yeah, he made a lot of money, but, you know, still, like, you don't want to change. You don't want to do better. All you have is that mentality from what you came from. And it's sad to see, you know, kids like that who have great following, who has such great skills and a great impact on young folks have to leave so early, you know, as a result of a stupid action. I think it's stupid.
But we see that every day, though, with broke kids.
Man.
I mean.
It's like, I want to, you know what? It made me even more, I'm telling you, this is the lesson I learned about that grind, that I will bust my kids in the neck. I'm sorry, Dr. Thomas. Chop them dead in the neck.
A judo chop, chop. Y'all don't know what that is.
Neck. Only, do you hear
you gotta
me?
Be real old to know what that is.
I'm just saying, guys. It's but just you one of them things. Chop, I couldn't. I'm here, and I, you know, and I'm sorry to the loss of, like, you know, the impact that that had on the family, and, you know, and everything. But that was something where you look at, like, you see these young artists now. They're making all this money. You know, they're coming from, you know, small starts, and then they have, like, we were having this conversation, baby, about, you know, like, overcoming small thinking. You know, like, you got these entourages out here that all they want to do is just hang around you and suck you dry, and then, like, you're just living a life, but you don't know, you know, what you're getting yourself into. I just pray that, you know, our children can be able to see these particular things, and just that it's a change, that you know, his life is not gone in vain, but that you see that these type of situations will help other kids who are engaging in that type of stuff. Now, here's the thing, though. Percocet is a drug. It's a medical drug.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, here's the thing. Yeah, you know, it's one of those things you get too much of is going to kill you. I mean, look at Michael Jackson. I don't care how much money you make.
Prince.
You know, look at all these individuals. But that's one of the things, like Dr. Thomas, he said his lyrics, Dr. Thomas says his lyrics told a lot about where he was mentally. Now, that is so true.
Mm-hmm.
That is so true. And then you see, you know, like kids, that's like that type of artistry coming out, but they also are like hurting on the inside, you know. I'm just saying, many prayers.
Dr. Thomas knew about Juice WRLD. She knew his lyrics. How come I ain't never heard of Juice? Baby.
My husband said he ain't got no friends.
Okay,
but like,
come on.
More prayers going out to Juice WRLD's family. But also, let's talk about, on a lighter note, right? Master P launches his own brand of instant ramen noodles, wrap noodles. Master P, all by himself. Ramen, cornering the market with his bad self. Hot water, hard noodles in a cup. Wrap noodles. Master P, a businessman with more than 2 million followers on Instagram, created his own noodle brand, ramen noodles. Now, here's my thing, right? Master P has always been, in my eyes, since I was young in high school, a hustler. But when you come out, like, you know, he came out, like, I think he was the one, didn't he do the chips? He did the wrap chips with, like, with Lil Romeo on the chips. Now you got wrap noodles. I'm just saying. Top Ramen can't have it all. We all got to eat. I hope it do. Master P, if you doing wrap noodles, I hope it has less sodium than the instant ramen, the other Top Ramen noodles.
Killing everybody off.
65% sodium in one pack.
Just drink salt water.
I'm just saying, guys. I'm just saying, Master P, I mean, this is what I learned. Man, you're never too young or never too old to hustle. That's all I'm saying. You come out with your own ramen noodles, baby, you deserve to be on the grand list. I'm just saying, you deserve to be on my top 10. Master P, I wanted to go to his No Limit tour this year. I just hate it. I just wanted to get crump with Master P. You never know when you can.
Didn't I hear something bad about the tour? Like, it didn't. Didn't nobody show up? What is Tanya on here? I don't know. Somebody gave me some bad information. Like nobody showed up or.
Wait a minute, you.
Right.
I would have asked for my money back.
I'm just saying.
That's my money. I'm just
I don't even know nobody on Master P.
You're saying that no one that was supposed to perform.
Yeah, like none of the right performers were supposed to be
like,
there.
I would have had to, like, Mystical. I had to get Mystical out.
He out. He like not locked up.
He been out.
Oh.
Yeah, Mystical. I had to have Mystical
and
Master P.
What was Mystical's? Didn't he do the move? Get out the way too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was actually Ludacris song with Mystical.
With Mystical, he was on it.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But I'm saying.
But Danger was him. Okay.
But I'm saying, guys, if I can't wait, I'm gonna go in there and take a look. I'm gonna see. I'm just gonna read the label of those rap noodles. Master P, you better not be out here killing our community with your rap noodles. They better not have a lot of sodium in it. You better have put some seasoning salt or something. You know, make it your own. Don't let it be high in sodium where, you know, you killing the community. I'm just saying, guys, that's one of the major ones. One of the major ones. Another major grind that occurred this year in February was that a company named Phreesia, P-H-R-E-E-S-I-A, Phreesia, a New York-based business launched by Cham and Dig and Evan Roberts. They have a company that makes electronic tablets that replaced the clipboard in the doctor's office, right? It raised $11.6 million just as President Obama targeted almost $20 billion for integrating IT into healthcare industries.
I can believe that.
The healthcare system needed technology. So when I was actually at a nonprofit, they started this whole transition in like electronic data, you know, processing and electronic records when it came to the medical field. So now to see like, you know, what happened when President Obama targeted almost $20 billion for integrating IT into the healthcare industry, Phreesia seen the opportunity to make electronic tablets to replace clipboards for the doctor's office. Amazing move.
Yeah, I was, when I went to get my last physical, they had converted from the last time I was there last year. When I went this year, the nurse, she had a tablet taking all my information.
I mean, that's bananas.
She pulled up my last stuff. She was like, this is your thing. She put it up on the screen. I'm in the thing. I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, let me play with the thing. When she went out the office, I was playing with it.
And one of the things I like about it, too, like now.
You left it laying in there. And you left it logged in.
One of the things I like about it, too, now, is that you can, like, now under the, you know, in the medical industry, you have more access to your records and the status of your records electronically.
Well, that was the purpose, because when you change doctors, it used to be your responsibility to go to your doctor and be like, give me my file, because
mm-hmm.
I'm going over here.
Yeah,
it was your responsibility.
Transfer your whole file over from one doctor.
Because you're better to go to a doctor and have your file than to go to a new doctor, and then now that doctor has to try to track your doctor down
right.
to get your stuff. You can go to your doctor and be like, I need a copy of my medical file.
Right.
And that way, and they'll give it to you free of charge. And
yep.
then you walk over to your new doctor, be like, hey, I'm your new patient. Here you go.
Here's everything. But now with electronic records, it's easy to transfer that information
yep.
over. But people are making money off of it.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that, you know, I learned about that whole process is that, you know, when you see an open opportunity to be innovative,
mm-hmm.
you want to jump in it. Like, you know, sometimes you will get, for me, I feel like you get, like, the signals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you
mm-hmm.
start seeing, like, a little weird trickling of a trend.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you have to be able to strike while the iron's hot. You got to be able to create this thing. But, see, what you have to also realize is that you can't do it by yourself. Sometimes you got to have a team, guys. Sometimes you got to have a connection to help you get to where you got to go. You know, it's hard when you're sitting on the couch and you're thinking about all these good ideas and
you're just thinking about it.
And you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
But you're turning around and somebody else is banking $11.6 million. And that's all only raised.
Right.
They raised that type of capital.
you
got to
get
able to create that.
But you have to think about how that, as far as technology goes, look at the schools, like even with the teachers now, like my, the classroom that I'm in, he has all of his students in Google Classroom. And when he wants to call on a student, and when he's teaching, he calls on a student. He doesn't just look around the room. He literally hits the random button on the iPad. And the iPad was like, here, pick this student. So it's not like he's calling one particular student. The iPad would just randomly choose a student. And then he can grade that student based off his response. Like, were they attentive? Were they ready to answer the question? All that, all the records, everything.
Yeah.
At LaTanya Daughter's school at St. Ignatius, all of Taylor's homework is computerized. There's no paper.
Yeah. And that's what they're really transferring over to. Guys, that's what's really occurring. That's what we're transferring over to.
Yeah.
Is the electronic way of processing things.
Yeah.
School records. Like you said, now I can be able to log in and see where my kids' progress is.
Yes.
Where
they're at.
You
can check homework.
Do your homework? You ain't turn that in? You got a 10% on that quiz? Mm-hmm. What's going on?
And you can keep up with the teacher, too. Because how come my kid turned this in 2 weeks ago? I ain't no grade.
Right.
Now you can ask the teacher right through the messenger.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like this,
there's no
this
excuse
technology
now.
Is really ripping. And it's like, we as individuals, as entrepreneurs, have to be able to catch up with that. Like, you have to be able to bring that into your brand. You have to find a way to connect it, you know. And it's not knowing everything about technology, but knowing enough that you can be able to connect it with whatever's going on. I don't know about you guys, and I understand why you can go into some of these restaurants and they still only take cash. I can understand that, right? Because a lot of them don't want to have to pay that fee that comes with the transactions, so they're trying to save every dime that they have. Okay, I understand that. But here's the thing. I have to go to the ATM and pull it out, you know? So it's like, you'll charge me a fee.
And then they're getting you twice, because most of the restaurants that have cash only have a deal with the guy who puts the ATM in their restaurant.
So now you're going to get $2 or $3 from me.
Right.
And then I got to buy your chicken.
Pretty much. Get your rib tips.
I got to get my rib tips and pay cash.
And
I'm just saying, guys.
And pay that $1 transaction fee. I ain't mad about that $1 fee, though. People be hitting that ATM all the time. Dude told me. They tell me all the time for a dollar because it's only a dollar.
Man.
Versus $4.50.
God bless the ATMs that allow you to take $5 off. You know, I like those ATMs. The ATMs where I can take a $5, you know, have it, you know, give me a $5.
He's going to get one.
$5 increments.
He's going to get one and put it in the church.
So silly. I ain't even going to go there. Let's talk about the next major grind. Which is the new legislation seeks to help formerly incarcerated individuals launch businesses. Hmm. That's a major grind.
Okay.
I mean, because here it is, right? So there's a the House Small Business Committee, along with the House Democratic Caucus Chairman Hakeem Jeffries, announced a legislation that would enable ex-offenders, specifically African-Americans and Latinos, to gain that second chance to becoming productive, self-sufficient citizens. The complementary bill seeks to use the federal government to extend entrepreneurial training to those currently incarcerated or recently released from prison. So here's the thing, right? They say, you know, I mean, due to, you know, incarceration, and like we have more than 37,000 individuals released from the penitentiaries last year, there is a set number up to 43% of those who were released are likely to return to prison due to committing new offenses. So for me, that gives individuals who are currently incarcerated or been released the opportunity to be trained on how to start a business. Now, that's the perfect segue, because When I was looking at Black Enterprise, actually today, there was an ex-felon.
That magazine still around?
Huh?
That magazine still around?
Black Enterprise?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's electronic now.
Oh, it's all electronic now, right?
Yeah, but you can get it, you know, paper, but it's primarily electronic.
I've been
trying
to get things for years.
Yeah. So here's the thing. This is what happened, right? The guy, he's an ex-felon. He's a barber. He sets up one of the first barbershops in Walmart.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
In a Walmart. Now, you know, anybody else, like, you know, when we go to Walmart, what do we see? We see the eyebrow ladies. You know, everybody going in there get their eyebrows tinted.
The eyebrow ladies in Walmart now?
The eyebrow ladies are in Walmart.
Go to Walmart. So.
Yeah, the eyebrow ladies are in Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
I call them eyebrow ladies. But you know them ones that arch it with the string? Woo, I can't do it. I can't do it. I did it one time. Can't do it no more. But you know how they're there. So can you imagine this ex-felon, African-American man, starting a barbershop in the Walmart?
Mm.
I mean, I can just imagine. If he's going to be in there like the eyebrow ladies, he's going to go somewhere. But I think that, you know, overall, just this whole legislation to help incarcerated individuals launch businesses is major. You know, like, here it is. A lot of times when we think about it, okay, we, you know, you're going to jail for committing a particular offense, and then you have, you get released. Now you have a felony, can't really get a job. You're going through your whole process. You're frustrated because you don't have, you know, money. You know, you don't have the, you know, all the resources needed to help you when
mm-hmm.
you're released.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do?
Yeah.
You make a move.
Yeah.
So, like, to give individuals an opportunity to say, you know, okay, I'm going to train you. And then when you're released, I can... Yeah, Dr. Thomas gave me the eyebrow lady. Siva. That's who they are. Siva.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I said that right, Dr. Thomas. Siva. But you go in and, you know, you get your eyebrows arched. But with the whole thing about the incarceration, incarcerated individuals launching a business, I just feel like that's what's needed. You know, you need to give individuals an opportunity for a second chance, but also an opportunity to be business owners. That's amazing. That reminds me of like felony dogs. Felony dogs. I don't know anybody in Chicago. Have you ever seen felony dogs? Like right now, they're on North Avenue now, right? They're on North Avenue, but they were on Jackson.
Why are they moving? What's the problem?
You know what? The funny thing about what happened with felony dogs, the individual, like the community, had an issue with felony dogs being planted on that corner. They said that it was attracting all the wrong attention,
mm-hmm.
or the name felony dogs. If somebody understands that, or you know, understand the whole plight of felony dogs, the name felony dogs was a bad look or whatever, and now they had to move. But God bless an individual that is seeking to hire
right.
incarcerated, you know, individuals, like helping creating jobs, you know. And I think that for me, I am all for that. I am all for that. And I'm going to continue to look into that and continue to research that. It's called the prison to proprietorship for formerly incarcerated act. So that's the prison to proprietorship.
Mm-hmm.
God bless them. I want to see individuals have the opportunity at a second chance. While you're there, man, do what's needed to come out on top. I mean, that's you know, my viewpoint on it, guys. But let's talk about this last one. We got this last one.
Okay, go for it.
It's the impeachment. Of President Donald Trump.
Mm.
Now, people might say, how is that, you know, a top 10 grind of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing, right? Like, before Donald Trump became president, he was known as a businessman.
Yep.
You know, a very, you know, successful businessman.
Give or take. He's rich.
He's rich.
I said he's rich. That's about
it's
it.
It's a difference between being rich and successful.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? That is a good topic to
talk
about.
It is.
A good topic to talk about. But the 230 yays, 197 nays, and Article 1 is adopted. President Trump is now impeached.
Right.
And for me, this is what I learned about this, guys, because I'm not even going to talk about whether what he did or what he his actions and stuff. So, like, I guess the way I, you know, define it, right, he got impeached for power tripping.
Okay.
The way I look at it.
Okay.
You
okay.
know, he got impeached for power tripping. But it taught me that as a leader, when you are put in a position of power, you have to be careful how you use that power.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be out here flexing and power tripping out here doing all these type of crazy things, thinking you're going to hustle and muscle people out of, you know, moves, fire people.
Mm-hmm.
And you step on a lot of people's toes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could have been who you were. Right. You could have been who you were, your characteristic, your personality. You could have been who you were and not fired nobody. And I don't think he'd probably still be
right.
around right now.
Right.
But you are who you are and you step on people's toes, fire people, talk crap. Now you bringing all the heat
mm-hmm.
your way. And you think people ain't going to come for you. They came for that man. They came for that man. And now he's impeached. Lord, but I mean, with great power comes great responsibility.
Okay,
guys.
Spider-Man.
I think it's any of the superhero, any superhero.
But
with great power comes great responsibility.
It was Uncle Ben who said that to
him. Uncle Ben?
He said that to him. Yeah.
I mean, that's real. I mean, it's not for play. Like, yeah, they going through this whole process or whatever, but man, you know, what's kind of funny for me, and then I'm going to close this whole thing out, and then I'm going to also close out my show in prayer, is that he is like, he's like, I don't know if anybody else, because I got the message from everybody, don't view his speech or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but like, when you looked at what he was saying, it was just like, he's like, we good.
Dude was like, do we feel like we being impeached?
Nope. It's like, man, I come in, I wreck shop, they impeaching me, but we still good. Like, you know, I don't know if that's entitlement. I don't know what the heck it is. When Bill Clinton was impeached, my man apologized. Like,
mm-hmm.
he was like, I was foul with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hold myself accountable. But how can you hold someone accountable who don't think they're doing anything wrong? Like, you ain't doing nothing wrong. You know what I love about it, which was kind of funny to me, but I loved it. I loved it. It was like, it made me feel like, you know, okay, so I'm just going to go there. But it made me feel like Cleo from Set It Off. Like, you know how, like, she was still getting busted, but she was still, like, because when, even in the aspect of his impeachment, he was still looking at them numbers. Like, we didn't lose not one Republican.
Right.
And right. We got three Democrats. So, boom, we going out with a blaze of glory. Like, it was just, like, one of them things, like,
mm-hmm.
we still going hard. I was just like, Lord, what do you do? People might be happy. People might be sending all the nice little memes about, you know, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton shouting out Like, I just seen the craziest memes all yesterday. Mike was showing them to me. But guys, when you are an entrepreneur, business person, like, your reputation, and this is one of the things that one of my sisters, we were having this conversation about, your reputation and who you're called to serve and the people that you that look up to you, the people who really respect you for advice and leadership and, you know, and communication, like, that's important. When you're being put in the level of leadership, you have to be careful about who you, like, engage with. When we think about, even though, like, I feel like Juice WRLD, even though he was young, I still feel like he, you know, when you're at a level of leadership, I still feel like he was put in a level of leadership. You know, he could have transformed all his entourage, you know, into individuals that were, you know, making impact. Now, I'm not saying that he did or he didn't, but your actions show something else.
Right.
You know, it's those things. It's your actions. It's how you handle your power. It's how you handle the things that you're blessed with. It's how you, you know, how you, even how you handle your enemies. Like, the people that are against you, the people that, you know, like, you know, because you're going to always have individuals that are not going to support
mm-hmm.
what you do. It's how you handle that, how you seize those opportunities, you know. It's how you handle your power. It's how you, you know, think innovatively, like Master P and Rap Noodles. You know,
mm-hmm.
you got to be able to do all those things to make your grind as major as their grind this year. And I feel like, you know, that's basically how I want to close that out. You know, respect your grind. You know, what's your question?
Huh?
What is your question?
No, I'm not answering your question. Yeah.
So you want me to bring you a 6-pack of wrap noodles?
No, I looked up the ingredients. They're not online nowhere, so it must be real bad. I don't even have the ingredients listed yet. The top 10 major grind. What was it? What's the topic for tonight?
The top 10 major grinds.
Major grinds of 2019.
Of 2019.
And I'm just curious, you know, is that, you know, maybe it's just me being a little petty, you know. How come, you know, TTLO Media Group wasn't in the top 10?
Oh. 2019.
We launched two brand new shows in 2019.
Here's the thing.
I'm just saying, you know.
Because here's the thing, right?
TTLO
always been a major grind.
I'm just messing with you.
They were in the 2019 grind. Grindology should have been as a
TTLO Media Group.
As a whole.
Because Healthy Soul Talk and Grindology were launched in
2019. Dr. Thomas, you are a major grind of 2019. And I'm... Diva? You know.
Do my best, Kanye. I'm going to let you finish, but everybody know.
Everybody know.
It's the best radio station to come get your show on.
Yes.
The producer ain't trying to be all up in your video.
All day. All day.
Dancing.
All day. TTLO. And I'm telling you guys, and that is a good way also to close out as well. Like, everybody who decided to start a business, a nonprofit organization, better their careers, better their professional lives, help support others, all you guys did a major grind this year. You should pat yourselves on the back. Anybody who wrote out a business plan this year to want to succeed in a business, you guys are a major grind this year. I mean, just everybody, every professional throughout the world are major grind this year. So I'm going to close out in prayer because I want to end my year off starting and ending with the one who has helped me. Through everything. Do you hear me? I'm talking about when you're insecure about conversating and being in the forefront. Like, you know, if you, like anybody like me who's behind the scenes, you know, person, like being behind the scenes, just don't like doing a lot of forefront. But for God to be able to push me to the front, to be able to even start Grindology or Grindel for that matter, I owe God everything. Everything that I have belongs to Him. Everything that I'm connected to belongs to Him. And I don't know about you guys, but my grind ain't my grind without God. What? My grind ain't my grind without God. I'm just saying, guys, I don't have a purpose without Him. I don't have nothing without God. So I'm going to just go close out in prayer. I wish you guys a happy Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Be on the lookout for more things, more transition. Oh, you see now? Nah. See that there? Because let me tell you something. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is my beginning and my end. He knew me before I knew my dust itself. Do you understand me? He is my all in all. And even though I have craziness up in my grindology with my husband and my producer, God is the center of it all. So I'm just going to pray that everybody have a wonderful closeout on your year, and I'll see you next year. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for just everything that you have done in our lives, Father God, in 2019. For every business, for every professional, for every nonprofit, Father God, we thank you for just everything that you have done, all the strategies, all the moves, all the growth, all the seeds, all the resources, Father God, everything that you have done and changed in our lives, Father God, so that we may be able to receive those levels, that we may be able to fulfill the assignment that you have called us to do. Father God, I just ask that you just cover every idea, Father God, with your blood. Cover every vision. Cover every move, every decision, every team, Father God. Each and every individual, Father God, that you have called together to collaborate, Father God, I ask that you just cover them. Allow them to work in unity. Allow them to work in love, peace, and understanding, Father God. We just come against any ill words that have been spoken over anybody's lives, over anybody's visions, over anybody's thought processes, businesses, nonprofits, careers, Father God. We just ask that we just cut it in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father God, I just pray that everybody's 2020 is productive, fruitful, in decency, excellency, and in order, Father God, just as you have called it to be, Father God. Open up our minds. Speak to us, Father God, into the next directions and the next path that you will have us to go, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, we know that everything that we do, Father God, is not for ourselves, Father God. Everything that we do, Father God, is not for men, but it's to bring you glory. And we just thank you, Lord, because without you, we're nothing. Without you, our visions are nothing. Without you, our businesses, our nonprofits, our careers are nothing. It's all because of you, Father God, that we are who we are and that we're going to be who we're going to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Yes, Lord. Guys, I love you, Dr. Thomas. Hey! Big things in 2020. Big things in 2020. Celestine, Pastor Angela, Joseph Murphy, Belda, Sarah. I just speak life over everyone, each and every one of you guys. I love you. I'll see you next year. I got some things up my sleeve. I'm going to just strive to get better. And hopefully, guys, what we have taught or brought to you in Grindology has blessed you or gave you some type of information, and that is helping you to the next level. I see you guys in 2020. I'm going to have a whole new banner. I'm going to have a whole new banner. Yep. whole new script, whole new process for 2020. And I just need you guys to tune in because that's what we do on Grindology. I don't have a grind without God. Love ya. I owe them, guys. I owe them. My soul.